It's Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield and Adam Hill on ESPN Las Vegas.
We got to improve in all areas. And no matter what our record is, we have to continue to find ways to improve. We got to improve the way we practice. We got to improve the way we meet. We got to improve the way we play. And we got to improve our roster, no question. The draft will be a big part of it. Who's available when we pick? What is available to us in free agency? That'll be determined down the road, but certainly we need to improve every area of our football team, and it starts with me.
John Gruden, intro press conference earlier in the week. Good job there by Chrissy. Also earlier, give credit to Fox TV on the Saints call. So let's get into the Raiders. Let's get into Gruden. Let's get into what's going on with the stadium, UNLV football, college football. A lot to hit with Tony Sanchez, head coach of the Rebels here on a Friday. What's up, Coach?
Hey, guys. How we doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. By the way, how long do we have to keep saying Happy New Year?
I don't know. I just haven't said it to you guys yet, so it felt right.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the sentiment. Adam, you stopped what? Do you even do it?
January 1st, about noon.
Is that right?
Yeah. About noon. All right, there you go.
Well, he's not really a people person. Tony Sanchez has to be a people person and actually is a people person. So you were around a lot of people this week. Tell people in our audience what you were doing. What, coaches convention?
Yeah, we were in Charlotte, North Carolina at the American Football Coaches Association convention. And there were about 7,500, 8,000 coaches there. And it's a long couple days, but it's good to, you know, just get around some of the other coaches and colleagues and talk a little ball and, you know, share some stories and, you know, and do a little educational learning. So it's always a fun week.
Is there any downside to the week? I know Adam and I are around the Final Four a lot, and that's the College Basketball Coaches Convention. And one of the things that goes on is folks are looking for jobs. So you have got a lot of guys who are looking for opportunities. Can that be a nuisance for you? But I guess in your position, you're actually looking for some coaches, so being around prospective coaches is a good thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, yes and no. Now, I don't know when there's 8,000 of them. it's a chaotic deal, you know. I mean, we've been working on that process, and we kind of have our list of guys. And, I mean, it's one of those – you know, it's a tough deal. It's a tough profession, and there's so many really good quality guys out there. And, you know, overwhelming majority have jobs, some don't. And, you know, it's always a tough deal when you see guys, you know, are – darn good at what they do and they're looking for jobs. So, you know, I spent a lot of time in, you know, in my hotel, you know, across the way, just, you know, conducting some interviews and having conversations and also just getting out with some good friends and just kind of reconnecting. But it's a fun weekend, you know. We don't do it at the same site that the game's at. We were in Charlotte and the game was in Atlanta. But it's fun sitting down and, you know, watching that game with a bunch of ball coaches. And like I said, it's a good time. You know, I've gone to it. I've been going to it for the last 15 years, you know, not every year, but in and out. But it's a fun deal to get around those guys.
Coach, how does it work if people want to talk to you at something like that, about a potential job or openings or anything like that? Are people sliding resumes under your door at the hotel? Are they trying to find you at the bar? Or is it like a more formal process?
No, well, it's a little bit of both. There's a lot of guys that you know, and you've set up some meetings before you get up there. I mean, all the interviews that we did, we had set up before we even got there. And then there are some guys you run into, you know, and you just, you know, you have brief conversations with them. And, you know, some are new faces, some are old friends, and, you know, or just people you might know. And, you know, you try to give everybody, you know, some time and do your due diligence. But most of it's been kind of, you know, predetermined, you know, before you even get down there. But there's a couple of conversations you end up having, you know, just by running into people and, you know, word of mouth. And, you know, you find out there's a lot of shuffling going on. You just go to the football scoop every day, and it's amazing all the different turnaround that's constantly happening and still going, and we're way past that first signing day. So a lot of movement going on in football right now.
So defensive coordinator is one of the slots you need to fill.
Yeah.
Ultra important. So what are you down to? How many names?
I'm down to a couple of guys. There's about four guys that I've talked to. I've met with more than that. And, you know, it's, you know, the one thing I've learned, and, you know, sometimes slow and steady when you're making decisions like that's the best thing. It's not about doing it quick and getting it done. It's about making sure you vet the right guys and, you know, you do your due diligence and do what's right for the program, because, you know, you're making a long-term decision. You're not making a short-term decision. And we've made so much progress on so many different fronts in this program. You know, we just got to get a little bit better on that side of the ball, you know, and continue to grow and, you know, just get better at the little details, you know, in every facet. And if we make the right decision and guy comes in and, you know, and helps us to improve in that area, I think it's a hell of a year, you know, coming up for us and many years after that. So, again, I wanted to make sure that I had the opportunity to take the time that I needed, you know, expose our program to them and make sure they're the right fit, because there are a lot of good football coaches out there, but they're not all the right fit. So just finding the right fit for UNLV, for our staff, and for Las Vegas.
the right fit. What does that mean? What do you need in a defensive coordinator?
Well, I mean, it just depends. When I say right fit, I'm talking about personality. You know, I learned a long time ago, you know, it's funny because Tom Osborne talked about it, and I was a young high school coach way back in the day. God, it must have been 15, almost 20 years ago now, in a clinic listening to him. And he says when it comes to hiring, a couple things he looks at. Number one, good person. Number two, it's got to be an intelligent person. Number three, got to be a great communicator. Number four, it's got to be a great teacher of whatever the position it is. Because at the end of the day, it's about good people. You want good quality people. You're already looking at a high-level base when it comes to the guys you're looking at for a position. But they've got to be intelligent. If you're intelligent, you're going to go ahead and you're going to be a problem solver. And you have to be a great communicator. It's not what you know. It's what you can translate to your players. And you got to have some energy. You know, I mean, again, when you look at what we're looking to improve at, we're looking to get better in the red zone. We're looking to get better, you know, at pressuring the quarterback. We're looking to get better at, you know, creating turnovers. We're looking to get better on third downs. And it's not about total yardage anymore. I mean, I think that's gone out the window a long time ago. It's about being better at situational, defense. And, you know, again, we've done better. If you look at all the numbers, we've improved over the last 3 years. I just feel like we have an opportunity to really move this program forward and, you know, and take a big step, you know, in a lot of different ways.
Tony Sanchez with us here on Cofield & Company on a Friday, looking for some coaches, especially in the key position, defensive coordinator. Do you need someone, a coach who matches your current personnel, or is it about coming in with a philosophy and then eventually you'll build that defense to match the coach?
Well, we've done a good job of creating numbers here. I mean, again, when you look at, you know, even last year, you know, at 71 scholarship guys, we finally have an opportunity to bring a full boat in. We're a much more talented roster. We're more, you know, diverse as far as skill development, skills go for our guys. So we're more flexible. And we've run, you know, we've been a base 40, but we've been a little multiple. So I think, you know, I want someone to come in who can, you know, be multiple. You know, if you base us out of a 30, base us out of a 40, that's fine. I've interviewed guys on both sides. I think our personnel right now matches up a little bit better for 40, but we do have some hybrid ends that we didn't have when we first got here that can do some different things. We're faster at the linebacker group. We have a couple really good young guys, and again, we're bringing in a bunch of guys right now in this recruiting class. So we're going to bring in a guy that fits our roster, that makes a lot of sense for us, and is going to help us get better.
Coach, on a national level, we were watching the game the other night, and we talked about the decision that Nick Saban made to change quarterbacks at halftime. How difficult would that be for a coach?
Oh, man, it's unbelievable. We talked about it, too. I was sitting there with a bunch of coaches, some guys in the NFL, guys in college, and every one of us was like, man, that's a tough deal, you know. And, you know, it paid off. You know, the young guy came on in, and, you know, and he spun it really well, and he added to that passing game. You know, obviously, they've been a little conservative throughout the course of the year. They've won by playing great defense and being able to run the football and not making mistakes with it. You get in a game against an elite team like Georgia, and they're just not going to allow you to do that. So, you know, he made the decision that, you know, to a lot of people seems really tough. And, you know, I mean, I think keeping Jalen Hurts in, you know, is that the wrong call? I don't think it is. Making the call to make a change, I don't think that's a wrong decision either. You got a lot of it is just feel. You know what's going on in the game. You've been around your guys. You know your roster better than anybody in the stands or anybody around. You know what you're capable of doing. So he obviously had a high level of confidence, because if there was any hesitation that young man couldn't come in and win the game for him, he wouldn't have made that move. So he knew his roster, and he made the call that was appropriate for the team.
Jalen Hurts was 26-2 as a starter. Is there just loyalty? I mean, it doesn't exist. You just can't worry about it?
Well, you know what? I can't say that either. Okay. Like I said, had he left him in, I don't think that's a wrong decision either. Who knows? Maybe Jalen would have brought him back. I don't know. I can't answer that. You know, everyone's got to make their own decisions. But I do know that Jalen's about as classy of a guy as I've ever seen. I thought that was some pretty inappropriate, you know, commentating by pulling him aside and asking him those questions at the end of the game. And I think a lot of us felt that way. But that guy showed so much class in the way he handled it. I mean, the guy's a winner. And, you know, I think we all, you know, I hope a lot of these young men watched him and the way he handled it with such grace. And that was inspiring to me.
Wait, you thought that was inappropriate to talk to him after the game?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you go ahead, you make the move. We're going to ask him, what, you know, how did you feel about them making the move? No, I mean, you know what? It's a celebration. Those guys did a great job. You know, that's still a young man. He's not a professional athlete, you know. It just put him in a real bad spot. I thought that was really poor.
Wow, that's interesting. Because I think it was Tom Rinaldi who did the interview, who is a super sensitive
guy.
That's his label.
I know Tom, too, and yeah. I've spent time with Tom, and Tom's a great guy. And I think looking back at it, he'd probably go, ooh, yeah. Sometimes you do those things without thinking. I just, you know, when you look at it, go like, I don't know, man. guy's 26-2. He's done a phenomenal job, and there's a real positive story to talk about. But who knows? What if we would have been upset, you know? And what if we wouldn't have handled it with such grace? I mean, even at the same time, sometimes you put these kids in situations that are tough, and they're not really prepared for them. But he was, and he handled it well, and I'm glad he did, you know. But again, I just, you know, I don't know how appropriate it was to ask him those questions at that time. And that's just me being a dad and being a coach.
Tony Sanchez with us, UNLV head coach. Adam Hill, Cofield here on a Friday. So a little more about the that situation with the quarterbacks, because I'm not saying you have that situation coming up, but why did you feel the need with a guy who had an unbelievable year, you know, aside from some health issues, which he couldn't help, you know, got his head racked. Why did you feel like, hey, we got to bring in someone who can be a good backup and actually compete, you know, press your starting quarterback a little bit?
Well, we do that at every position every single year, so it's not just the quarterback. I think that's just the one that's kind of out there in the limelight a little bit more than everything else. But, you know, I tell our guys all the time, our job's out recruiting you. Your job's not to let us do it, and that's every single position. So, obviously, Armani's a talented guy, had a heck of a year, and, you know, he's as of right now, he's the future, you know. So if he, you know, holds on to it and continues to go out there and earn it, and I know that's what he wants. He wants to be in that environment, then he'll do just that. But you bring it. But when you look at the roster, you got to be smart too, and you got to know that, you know, how many teams truly get through a full year with, you know, all of their starters being healthy. So you always got to, you know, you plan with the roster you have, but then you also got to build it to where, hey, if, you know, if negative things happen, if you have injuries, if guys go down, if, you know, who's going to come in. And when you look at that position, we got young real fast, and we had Armani as a redshirt freshman, then we had two seniors, and then you lose the two seniors. So now what are you going to do? You're going to walk in with a redshirt freshman and then a true freshman and then, you know, a redshirt sophomore. And we felt like a guy like Max, who has experience, has played, won games, going to be a little bit more mature, is going to have an opportunity to obviously push him at that position. But then, you know, whoever ends up being the number two, right, is going to be a guy who's had experience, is going to be able to go in and help you win a football game. So whether it's a quarterback, running back, O-line, you know, linebacker, whatever the position is, you've got to make sure you build depth. And that's something we sorely lacked when we first got here. Now, you know, we've got a lot of good competitive depth in a lot of areas.
I always wonder what coaches tell, especially that position. You tell a quarterback when you're recruiting him, right? Because you've got Armani Rogers, who may be around for three more years. He just had a great redshirt freshman season. What is the pitch to a guy who wants to play? Because obviously Saban did it with Tua. Obviously, I mean, these are different levels of recruiting, but Georgia did it with, you know, first they have Eason, then they bring in Fromm, and then they get the number one quarterback in the country by a lot of services, Justin Fields. I just wonder, like, in the quarterback position, what do you pitch that guy who's coming in who knows he's going to have to compete and it's an uphill battle when maybe he can go somewhere else and play right away?
Yeah, well, the pitch is kind of what I just told you, you know, about how, hey, we're building a competitive roster, you know, culture of competition, you're going to have every opportunity, you know, and that's true, you know. And these kids, you know, especially at that position, they're so confident in their abilities, and that's why they are so good and so highly sought after. And, you know, it's hard. I mean, you look at – I mean, the number one indicator of a team that has a chance to win a football game is going to be your quarterback. And, you know, teams that have a great quarterback have a great chance to win football games. When you don't, it becomes really tough. So, you know, you're looking for that A-type personality. You're looking for that guy that's just got, you know, an unbelievable sense of confidence that can come on in and compete at a high level. And bottom line, it's not going to work out for everybody. There's only one quarterback, you know, and there's not many people that are trying to play more than one quarterback. Sometimes you do for certain packages, but I don't think that's really a plan to go in and, you know, and split that role. So it's tough. So you need to have really competitive kids. And I think when you look at rosters around the country, that's why it's so difficult to have a good senior and a good junior and sophomore. Just if you have two great quarterbacks, it's hard to get them unless they're at least 2 years removed. And that's why you see so many transfers nowadays. I don't care if you're at UNLV or at USC or at Alabama. At some point, you're going to lose some quarterbacks. It's just the world we live in now. You know, we've been fortunate. We haven't really had that. But at some point, I tell you what, you do it long enough and you're really good at recruiting, you bring in talented guys, it's hard to, you know, you're not always going to have guys who are going to sit there and wait their turn.
Coach, it looks like you guys got some pretty good news out of the stadium agreement. How pleased were you with how that turned out?
I was really pleased. I mean, it's a really exciting deal. And, you know, bottom line is, with it being so much public funds, you know, it's appropriate. It should be that way. You know, I mean, it's not a stadium built just by their franchise. And I know the Raiders, you know, they've been great as far as expressing, you know, that they're interested in, you know, making it, a great opportunity for us. And it's a big deal to move this program with the groundbreaking of our new football complex coming. And a couple years later, the stadium, it's it's an exciting time. I mean, it has been the last couple of years, and it continues to be. So we're fired up about it, but I'm glad they did the right thing. I mean, it should be a, you know, an opportunity for us to come in there and have a home stadium close to campus. And, again, with so much public funds being invested in it, I think it's appropriate.
What's up next for you?
What's up next for me? Well, recruiting. I mean, you know, we got right now when we're back in the office, we got another signing day coming up, I believe February 7th. So we got to, we're not bringing anybody in this weekend. The next two weekends we'll be locked and loaded. We actually sent the entire staff in Vegas today. So we hit, I think we hit something like 28 schools, and we'll hit the school by the time we're done. But we did some local recruiting, and then next week after MLK Day, the, you know, Martin Luther King, on Monday we bring all of our guys back in. That's the holiday we celebrate. So we'll bring the guys in, get them going on Tuesday back in the weight room and rolling, and then we'll hit the road recruiting for that last signing day.
Were you happy with the total numbers for the early signing period?
Yeah, I was really happy with it. You know, we had the, you know, the 13 guys assigned. You know, one of them was, you know, a transfer. And then we actually have four other kids committed, so we were a little further ahead than that. So, you know, we've got our lasso around a certain group of guys we really like that we still can come in and make a difference. There's a lot of really good players left out there, and we purposely did not sign a full class at that time. I just, when I looked at it again, you know, being patient in certain areas, I thought that, you know, for us, you know, in the non-Power 5, going ahead and, you know, securing the guys that make a big difference. I mean, I look at last year, and, you know, you get down and, you know, you're 7 days before signing, and you end up losing two kids to three kids to a Pac-12 school and another kid to a Big Ten school, you know, at the very end, and you don't have a lot of time to recover. Well, having those kids sign early, those special dudes sign early, that's a big deal, because now they're not a fallback for a bigger, you know, bigger conference type team, and then now we have the opportunity to go out and kind of let the, you know, the dust settle and see who the heck's out there. And there's some really good football players that didn't sign that are still out there. So I'm excited about where we're at right now, and I think it's going to be a great class when it's all said and done.
What was the chatter like about the early signing period at the coaches' convention? Because I'd have to imagine there's some differing opinions, and mentioned it. This used to be a great period coming up for the next month or so. Not only would Power 5 schools, you know, get their guys that they wanted, battle each other, but then they would go and steal smaller schools. So how are the, like, when you're around some of the bigger school coaches, like, what are they saying about the early signing period?
Well, it's kind of interesting, because if you are, you know, one of those elite programs, you're a top 20 type program year in and year out, they liked it because they went ahead and they were able to lock up, you know, the majority of their classes.
Really?
At the schools like Georgia, and they signed a bunch. Now, once you get past those top 20, it became tougher for them, because, you know, when they would lose a guy, you know, at the last, so, you know, there's that ripple effect deal. So let's say you're an elite Pac-12 school and you lose a guy, well, then you go and take another Pac-12 school's guy, and then they go ahead and, you know, they may steal one, or they may look into the Mountain West, and now you're taking a guy from a place like UNLV. Well, that opportunity wasn't there anymore, right? So you had that early signing day, the big schools got their guys, and if they nitpicked, you know, a lot of the other schools went ahead and filled their classes up. So with us signing guys at that time too, they didn't really have time to do that, you know. So that's kind of an interesting dynamic. So I think if you're a non-Power 5, you absolutely loved it. Anyone who's not in the Power 5, we all thought, I mean, unanimously thought it was a good deal. And when we, you know, we did a show of hands in the room about whether or not we liked it or not, it was about 90% for it. So
really?
I thought a lot of the bigger schools wouldn't like it as much, but they did. Now, the one thing I don't think any of us like is, you know, the official visits in the spring next year. That was something that will happen for the first time, and, you know, and the overwhelming majority was totally against that, you know. So it's going to make our lives a whole lot more hectic.
Tony Sanchez is with us. Thanks for spending so much time. Last one, let's come full circle. We mentioned John Gruden coming into the interview. You know, you're a Raiders fan. What do you think about Gruden coming back? And more importantly, what do you think about those of us, the talking heads, not us, of course, but others saying, hey, this guy's been away from coaching. He's getting all his money. Can he even coach anymore?
Well, you know, I mean, it's all interesting. I mean, you know, as a Raider fan, I'm excited. You know, as a football coach and a football fan, I'm excited. It's just good to have John Gruden back in the game of football. I mean, you know, it's been great watching his commentary. He does such a good job there, articulate, sharp. And it's going to be fun to see him back on the sidelines. He's good for football, and it's great to have him back, and it's great to have him, you know, real soon coming to Las Vegas. So I'm fired up about that. But that's a valid point, and that would be a valid point for anybody. But I tell you what, you know, it's kind of interesting. As I talk to guys and You know, it's a tough profession, and, you know, I mean, you put your heart and soul into it. You know, people say, oh, it's not what you are, it's just what you do. No, it's what we are. I mean, it's every fiber of your body goes into it. So sometimes taking a break and stepping back from the chaos a little bit makes you better. I mean, look at guys like Dick Vermeil, and, I mean, man, you know, what a difference. I mean, he did a great job at the first time, and then he was even better the second time. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, I think he's a great mind. That hasn't changed. He's a great motivator. You know, he's definitely a tough guy, and I think he's going to come in with a great plan. And, man, the time off may have refreshed him and recharged his batteries, and he's probably got a whole different perspective now after doing what he's done for so long. So, you know, I'm optimistic. I think it'll be a great thing.
One last question on the defensive coordinator. When do you expect to have the person in the position officially?
I think we'll have that done here in the next 4 to 7 days. There's a couple of guys I'm bringing in this weekend, and, you know, like I said, I did a conducted a couple of interviews last week, and, you know, a couple before that, and then I got a couple more this weekend I'm going to talk to, and then, you know, pretty soon here in the next, you know, I want to just nail a specific time, but I would say in the next week, you know, I'll be ready to nail it down and make a decision.
All right, Coach, we appreciate it. Happy New Year's.
All right. Well, you can't say that anymore, right?
I can. Adam's a curmudgeon, so he cut it off after day one.
All right, guys. Take care, man. Good talking to you.
We'll see you. There you go. Tony Sanchez.